morning. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Daf Mem Aleph. We're in the bathhouse today. We were in the bathhouse yesterday. We continue to be in the bathhouse today as we discuss bathing on Shabbos. But once upon a time, it was okay to take a bath on Shabbos. Now, not exactly bathing, as we'll learn over the course of the Gemara, but some form of bodily cleansing. If the bathhouse was heated on Shabbos itself, so funny. We don't think of these terms bathhouse. We have something called indoor plumbing. It's amazing. But in the good old days, though, you wanted to take a bath. You went to the bathhouse, paid a little bit of money, took a wonderful bath together with your closest, 100 friends, and it's just you marvel at how exciting it is nowadays, and how luxurious life can be. But and then that was your bath, and maybe once a week. No, not maybe. We're talking about Jews. We're talking about once a week for Shabbos. maybe even Tuesday. No, what? No, I did not come from the east side. No, but I do remember going to the mikvah in Queens, and that was some experience. So that's the good old days. That was the bathhouse of the good old days. Meanwhile, on Shabbos, the concerns are obvious. For the bathhouse to be heated on Shabbos is absolutely forbidden. That's a malacha of Bishul. And so for sure you cannot bathe in such a bathhouse that was heated on Shabbos. What about the bathhouse that was heated before Shabbos? So ostensibly it would be okay because no malacha was done on Shabbos. All you're doing is just washing your body on Shabbos itself, which doesn't violate any malacha d'araisa, but the rabbis prohibited. Now the rabbis prohibited. Now this first stage, so to say, it's not even a stage. Meaning it seems to be that there was historically, I can't say the rabbis always prohibited. I don't know what that means, always. But in other words, the Gemara walks into the discussion assuming that that was always prohibited. Even if the water was bathed before even if the water was heated before Shabbos, you can't bathe on Shabbos with that water. And the concern is very serious and very real. Meaning, once you allow people to bathe in water that was heated before Shabbos, the person's going to come and bathe with water that was heated on Shabbos. So that's Gzeira Derabbanan. But as we're going to learn over the course of today's daf, the Gzeira Derabbanan developed and expanded. So what we start off with today, we're behind. We're on Mem Amud Aleph today. I'd like to do a little work in terms of catching up. We really should be together with the rest of the world. No reason why we need to be behind. So just because we live in Florida and we seem to be slower than the rest of the world, we certainly are slower than the rest of the country. okay, sorry. Political joke. So we really need to be up to speed, and up to speed means to be on Daf Mem Aleph. So we begin. We're starting today with a little history lesson. Obviously not history, but halachic history lesson. Meaning we're going to start off today by getting a feel for how the Gzera expanded. So we start with the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. We're in the middle of Mem Amud Aleph, and we begin with a brayse. The Tanu Rabbanan. So a little bit more than halfway down the page. Mercha Shapaku Nekav of Meir V'Shabbos. So if I have a Meir Chatzwer, it was plugged up. Plugged up, what does that mean? It means that it was heated up and it was stuffed. No more water would come in and out, and the whole cooking process was concluded on Erev Shabbos. I'm sorry, on Erev Shabbos. Yeah, on Erev Shabbos. So on Motzei Shabbos, Orcha Etzbo Miyad. So now, Motzei Shabbos, you can go take a bath right away. Now, again, the starting point for the discussion is you can't take a bath in it on Shabbos itself, even though the cooking was done before Shabbos. That's absolutely forbidden. But what is permitted, however, is to bathe immediately after Shabbos. Is that a big chiddush to do it immediately after Shabbos? Sure, that's a chiddush. Rashi points out, Rochitz Bamiyad, Vein Tzarech Lahamtim Bechtei Shiaseh. You don't have to wait Bechtei Shiaseh, as we will learn some point over the course of the Masechta. If a malacha is performed for you on Shabbos, you can benefit from that malacha even after Shabbos until the amount of time it takes to do that malacha. Meaning that if a malacha were performed for you on Shabbos, so you're not going to benefit from that on Shabbos, that you can't do. But if you benefit from it immediately after Shabbos, essentially what you've done is you've gotten benefit from malacha that was done on Shabbos, because obviously the time of preparation, time is money. So time has value. So therefore, for any malacha that's done for you on Shabbos, you have to wait after Shabbos, bichtei shiaseh, the amount of time that it takes for it to be done. Over here, however, there was no malacha that was done for you on Shabbos. The bathhouse was heated up before Shabbos. So immediately after Shabbos, one is allowed to bathe in that water. Now, if it was stuffed up on Erev Yontov, now, Tosfos points this out, and it's a little bit strange that we just shifted from Shabbos to Yontov, but in the course of this discussion, it'll be clear, and Tosfos makes this point, that on this halacha, Shabbos Yontov, it doesn't make a difference. It'll be the same. So, So what you're allowed to do on Yontov and on Shabbos, not nowadays. This is a history lesson. What was once done is that you went into the bathhouse and you were meziah. Now, I guess the only way to describe it in modern vernacular is you schwitzed. Okay, it's like going into a sauna. Now, going into a sauna doesn't really cleanse, at least not that I know of, but back in the good old days, that was another cleansing method. So there was taking a bath, meaning immersing yourself in the water itself. And then there's maziah. Maziah just basically means that you stand over the water, you allow the steam to run over your body, and that was a form of cleansing. And certainly you understand the next stage, v'yotzei mishtatef. And then what you do is that you rinse, you go outside of the bathhouse and you rinse yourself in beis achitzon, but go to the outer room. Meaning apparently there was an inner room, there was an outer room. The inner room was where the bath actually was. And then the outer room is they had some sort of shower, some form of shower. So what you could do is that after schwitzing yourself in the schwitz, so then you go outside and then you rinse yourself off. Okay, that once upon a time was allowed. So Amar Rav Yehuda Maisa b'mercha shabnei brak shapaku nekav me'erav yantol v'macha nechnas Rav Elazar ben Azar v'Rabbi Akiva v'yaziu bo v'yatzu v'nishtatfu v'beis achitzon. And the Gemara tells the story. And the story goes that Rav Elazar ben Azar and Rabbi Akiva, Tanaim of late generation Tanaim. So what did they do? Exactly what we just described. On Shabbos, they went into the bathhouse and they schwitzed. And they went outside of the inner room, they went to the outer room and they showered. And Elo Shechamim Shalo Mechupim B'Nesarim. And the only thing that they required or demanded is that the bath itself be boarded up so that nobody would think that they actually went into the water on Shabbos or on Yontif. And so, fine. In other words, that was the practice of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now the matter went in front of the Chachamim. Now usually, you know how these stories work. The matter comes in front of the Chachamim. The Chachamim shake their head, meaning, no, you can't do that. Here, story is not exactly as you would have predicted. That boarding up of the bathhouse, that wasn't even necessary. Not the bathhouse. The boarding up of the bathtub, that wasn't necessary. There's no requirement for that. Meaning, it's understood. No one's allowed to take a bath on Shabbos or on Yontov, even with water heated before Shabbos or Yontov. That's understood. And the idea that you have to board up the actual bathtub, that's not necessary. Okay. So, but the story's pretty straightforward. Bathing is also on Shabbos, even with water that was heated before Shabbos. But schwitzing, that's fine.
Bathing includes going to mikveh?
Huh?
Bathing.
No, you can't. No, it's not mikveh.
No, it doesn't. It's not necessarily going to mikveh.
No. But when we say hizia, this idea of sweating, meaning they just allow the steam to run over their body. But they don't go actually into the water itself.
But they didn't forbid going to mikveh on Shabbat.
Again, going to mikveh on Shabbat is not.
It's not bathing.
It's not. Right. It's different. It's not our discussion. Our discussion right now is just simply bathing. Right. Meaning hygiene. So Chamin Shalom Chubim Minasarim Ushim Misha Rabu Over Aveira Hischil Lasser and Bati Yoshal Krachin. Now there was a proliferation of Ovre Aveira. Okay, so there were sinners. Now who are they? What was their sin actually? Stay tuned. We will discuss. We will describe. But in other words, people exploited this halacha, and because of the exploitation, so Hischil Lasser and Bati Yoshal Krachin. So then they started making, I'm sorry, hischilu lesser, sorry. So then they prohibited. So in other words, not even zeah, not even the steaming, not even the schwitzing. That's not okay as well. So now the chachamim are progressively getting more and more strict in terms of what you cannot do in the bathhouse. Bathing was always usur. Steaming at one point was mutter. And I say at one point, I'm talking about Rabbi Akiva and Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And now because of this proliferation, so now even steaming is usur. However, now, if it's a large bathhouse, the ones in the city, which apparently were very big and very large, and people kind of used it as a cut-through. So if you wanted to walk through the bathhouse, that's okay. Meaning, and your intent is not to steam yourself or not to schwitz, and if you just want to walk through, that's okay. There's no issue of marasayan. Think about it. We're talking about marasayan and derabanan, which, by the way, there are. There are marasayan on dine derabanan, but over here, it's not even your intent. Your intent is not to even steam yourself. You just want to walk through. So if it's a large bathhouse and one in the city, that's fine. And that is the end of the brisa. So now what we have learned, kind of, meaning we didn't get a lot of detail, is that at one point, bathing was always usur. At one point, schwitzing was mutter. And then because of this proliferation of sinners, so now even schwitzing is usur. And under certain circumstances, you can walk through a bathhouse, but that's it. So my over avera, so the Gemara now explains this a little bit better. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapar, B'tchila Yerochsim b'chamim shuchmim erev Shabbos. Okay, there was a point in time, now we're going way back, meaning certainly earlier than Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, where you're allowed to even bathe in on Shabbos, in hot water. So B'tchila Balan l'achim b'Shabbos. Now, v'omrim erev Shabbos uchmo. So now you have the unscrupulous Balanim, the bath attendants. So what they did, apparently with frequency, is that they bathed they heated the water on Shabbos, claiming that it was heated before Shabbos, and you know, business is business, and unfortunately brings out the worst in people. So also sometimes bring out the best in people, but okay. So bathing in hot water became usur. When did this happen? I don't know. Early on. So they said bathing in hot water, even when the water was heated before Shabbos, that's asur. But there was a little relaxation in that if you want to schwitz in the bathhouse, that's fine. Schwitzing is fine. Now, we no longer can point a finger at the bath attendants, meaning they did nothing wrong, but here's what the people did. The people went into the bathhouse and walked out. And when asked, well, what did you do in there? They said, oh, we schwitzed. And meanwhile, what people did is they actually went into the water, meaning as long as you have license to go into the bathhouse, so then the people abused and exploited it, and then they actually went into the water themselves. So then, now, broader legislation, you're not allowed to even schwitz in the bathhouse. There was still a little bit of relaxation of the halacha in that if you go to Chamei Tveria, you can bathe yourself or schwitz yourself in Chamei Tveria. Now the people in Tveria, so what did they do? They took a bath and they said, oh, don't worry, it was Chamei Tveria, and meanwhile, it wasn't Chamei Tveria. So again, more abuse. So then the Chachamim said, we're going to put a ban now on Chamei Tveria as well. So again, now it just broadens and broadens. And they said, but you know what? Well, now if people want to take a cold bath on Shabbos, so that would be okay. So here we are now with the last remnant of Heter, where a cold bath is fine. Rosh Enadavar Omei Lahan, Heter Lam Chamei Tveria. Now, with every piece of rabbinic legislation, there's almost like a testing period, like a trial period. Meaning, let's see if people can handle this. Meaning, a gzerah is only in force if Rov HaTzibur Yachol La'amod Bo, if the majority of the Jewish people can handle it. But the Chachamim, they're not going to legislate if it's just too much for people to handle. And so here now, I don't fully understand this, but for some reason, Chamei Tveria was over the top. Meaning the ban against even bathing in Chamei Tveria, it was excessive for the people. And so what the Chachamim did is then they repealed. And Hitir Lahem Chamei Tveria. And so what they allow now is bathing in Chamei Tveria. Vizeya Bimkoma Omedes. But the ban against schwitzing, that ban stood. So oddly enough now, what we walk away with is because of this history and because of the progression. So schwitzing in any bathhouse would be prohibited, but bathing in Chamei Tveria, that would be okay. That's the that's where we landed on. Amar Rava. Okay? And so now in a discussion of Gzeres Chachamim, rabbinic bands, Amrav Aiman, Darva Adarabana, Sharla Mikra Le'avaryana. So you see somebody violating a din derabanan, meaning, and what's his thought process? We know it. His thought process is, well, the Torah doesn't answer it, and this is just a rabbinic ban, So this person will be callous towards any type of rabbinic ban. So you have permission, says Rava, where you can publicly call him an avaryan. You can call him a sinner. And not just to his face, but even do so publicly as well. So Kiman, the Gemara says, following what position? Ki Aitan, the Gemara says, look, with the following, I'm Bat Yosha Krachim Etaya Behem in a Choshesh. Ki Aitana. Meaning, we learned it from the previous Tana, meaning as Rashi points out, take a look at the top Rashi, Memam and Beis, the Amar Lal Mishis Chil Over Averi, Hit Chil Lesser As Ever, Arilo Nesra Al Yidei Rochsim B'chamim, Me'etzmo, Vor Mezim Anachtam, Ve'in Kan Ela Averis Divrehem, Shasur Sachamim. Meaning, previously, the people were only violating Yisur Derabanan, and yet they were called out. So you see that if somebody violates willingly, obviously, you know, with intent and malice, if a person violates a din derabanan, so you have every right to call him out and say that that's not right, that's not appropriate. It's also mid derabanan, it's rabbinically prohibited, but that's still a prohibition nonetheless. Now, Now, one of the things that we learned is that you can't bathe in the bathhouse, you can't even schwitz in the bathhouse post the rabbinic decree, but what you can do is you can walk through the bathhouse, that's fine. So the Gemara says, now, if you notice carefully, what we said is you can walk through a bathhouse, but it's only the one of the big city. Now, the Gemara comments on this. Amarava dafka krach maval dikfarim lo. You can't walk through the bathhouse of a small town. Well, what's wrong with small town bathhouses? My time, Kevin, does they're trying to fish have layu. So the Gemara says, because, look, they're very small. So in other words, just simply by you walking through, it's a very small room, it generates a tremendous amount of heat. Just by you walking through, you are now being mezia. Apparently, it's possible to walk through a large bathhouse and not be affected at all, not schwitz at all. But when walking through the smaller bathhouse, it's inevitable. Almost, if you will, we'll call it a psik reisha, meaning it's just, even though it's not your intent, it's inevitable, and therefore it would be forbidden. Tana Rabbanan Mizchamim Adam Keneged Amadur V'yotzei Mishav U'mishatev Bitzonein U'vavashol Yishtatev Bitzonein V'yizchamim Keneged Amadura Mimnei Shemav Shemayim She'alav. Okay. Here's what you can do on Shabbos. Here's a move. You can heat your body up Keneged Amadura, meaning let's say you're cold. You have a nice chill on Shabbos. And so you go to the fireplace and you warm yourself up by the fireplace, so that's fine. And even afterwards, now you're good and hot, now you want to rinse yourself off, that's also fine. Meaning now we're talking about rinsing in cold water, right? Showering in cold water. We touched on that yesterday. From the Gemara standpoint, it seems like that's fine. That doesn't fall under the Gzer at all. The Gzer is only in the bath itself. We're talking about now taking a shower, not even with hot water. Hot water would be prohibited, but with cold water. But you can't do the reverse. Meaning what you cannot do, says the Braisa, is that you can't rinse first in cold water and then heat yourself up against the fireplace. Why not? So the Braisa says very clearly, because what's going to happen now is that, of course, you have liquid on your body, you have water on your body, and as you go to the fireplace, that water is going to be warmed up, and it will be a violation of bathing, meaning the Chachamim banned bathing on Shabbos. Now, I know this is a non-conventional way to bathe, meaning put the water on you and then heat the water while it's on you. Understood that that's non-conventional, but still, part of the Gzera Derabanan of not bathing on Shabbos. Now, the water is not getting cooked on your body. In fact, the wording of the Gemara Shemafshir, Hefshero, which you'll see a lot of that word over the course of today's daf, Hefshero just simply means it transforms into warm, lukewarm. But it's on your body. Obviously, you're not interested in cooking any water on your body, but nevertheless, so this falls under the ban of bathing. The Bryce over here discusses making a compress on Shabbos. So what a person is allowed to do is heat up an aluntis, heat up a towel, and put it on your stomach on Shabbos. But what you can't do is you can't make an actual compress itself. right? They're not that popular anymore, but back in the good old days, I grew up with it. Meaning that you have some sort of bottle, you put the water in it, you cook the water on it, and then you put it on you. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara over here talks about a kettle, but it's the same basic idea. So a kettle of hot water, putting it on your stomach, the Gemara says that's also on Shabbos. The davazeh afilu b'chol asim im ne'asakana. Now, even during the week, it's not recommended for therapeutic purposes. In other words, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous practice. But on Shabbos, there's a concern because on Shabbos, it could very well be that as the hot water is on you, some of it will spill on you. And it turns out that you're heating yourself with hot water on Shabbos. Obviously, the compress is made before Shabbos, obviously. Because if the compress were made on Shabbos itself, that would be an issur d'oraisa. But still, the compress that's warmed up before Shabbos, putting it on you on Shabbos, it's a further gzera. I mean, think about how far the gzera extends. We're not even talking about putting liquid on you. Putting a pot of heated water on you, maybe the hot water will spill on your body, and then you'll be bathing in hot water that was heated before Shabbos, which is a violation of the din d'rabbanan, but in other words, even with the water not even on you, just a kettle over on top of you.
What about a hot water bottle that you fill from your hot water on?
Well, yeah, that may be different because it's a klisheni. Maybe. I'm not sure. And if you're asking from a halachic standpoint, you know Rabbi Goldberg's number? So, I'm serious. In other words, that's where all the halachic questions get directed. Tanu Rabbanan, maybe adam kito mayim u'menicha kenaged amadura. A person can bring keton mayim, a jug of water, and place it next to the madura. Okay? Let's say the water is really cold and you just want to warm up the water. Right, take the chill out of the water. That you're allowed to do by putting it next to the fire. Now you got to be very careful about how you say this. And I got to be very careful about how I say the Gemara. Putting it on top of the fire is usur. And even if your plans are, don't worry, I'll take it off before the water cooks. That's still going to be usur, and intuitively, I'm sure we can all understand, because what if you don't take it off the fire before it cooks up? Okay, so in other words, so putting it on the fire is usur, even if your intent is only to take off the chill. The Braisa over here describes putting it next to the fire, right? That's the language of the Braisa, kenegeda madura. So you're allowed to do only so that it takes off the chill. Now there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim whether how proximate it is to the fire. Meaning, is it so close to the fire where if I were to leave it there, it would actually get cooked, the water would get cooked? Or we're talking about, no, it can only be close enough to the fire where even if I left it there, the chill would be taken off. That's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, not for now. I mean, it's important, but just not for now. Rav Yehuda Amar Mevi'a Isha Pach Shoshama Menichta Keneged Amadura. La Bishol Shivashol, La Bishol Shiafshir. Another thing you could do is you could take a jug of oil. And let's say the oil is really cold and you just want to take the chill off the oil. So what you could do is you could put it near the fire, next to the fire, just to take off the chill. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Isha Sacha Yada Shemem Meschama Keneged Amadura. Another thing a woman could do, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, is a woman could take a hand, right, dip the hand in oil, so now her hand is saturated with oil, place the hand with oil near the fire, and that will take the chill off the oil. And then take that oil now, which is brought to room temperature, and rub the oil onto her baby. That's fine, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, interesting that the Tanakhama didn't utter a word about oil. Meaning that, you see the progression of the Braisa? The Tanakhama talked about water. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, and it works by oil as well. So there is an implicit debate between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim. Sorry, between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allows it to go even for oil, and the Tanakhama doesn't say anything, but there's an implied debate in the Braisa. So now the Gemara's question is as follows. What's the Tanakhama's sentiment about the oil? Are they, in other words, the assumption is they don't agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, otherwise the Braisa would have just been constructed as one long sentence. They obviously disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but which way do they go regarding oil? Are they more machmir or are they more makel? You know where we're going. So debate. Machlokas. Ibailu, Shema Maulatanakama. Rabba Rav Yosef Darmi Tavayu Lehetera. So Rabba and Rav Yosef say that the Tanakama is actually more makel regarding oil. More makel, what does that mean? How can you be more makel? Meaning, again, let's review. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that a woman could take oil, put it on her hand, and put the hand near the fire, just to take the chill off the fire. Now, what the Gemara is suggesting, not suggesting, it's the opinion of Rabba and Rav Yosef, that the Tanakam is even more makel.
Was the oil outside?
Hear me out. How could the Tanakam be more makel? Interesting, the Gemara is about to explain that according to the Tanakam, you can actually even cook the oil on Shabbos. Now that's very strange, as I just said it. So if you're trying to process it, that's very strange. You're allowed to cook oil on Shabbos? Stay tuned. Now Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, no, the Tanakam is more machmir than Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in that even by oil you can't even do that. You can't even put it on your hand and put the hand near the fire. Even if you're just warming up the oil and you're not cooking the oil. Now, Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tavar Le'Tera Shem Anafa Pishiatzel Esbal Mutar. Fascinating, the Gemara explains that according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the Tanakam is more makel by oil. You can cook oil on Shabbos, even though it goes beyond the point of Yatzel Esbal. Now, I believe this is the first time we've seen in the Gemara these terms, Yatzel Esbal. In fact, in today's daf, really yesterday's daf, we will be learning the definition of cooking. On Shabbos, when we're talking about cooking a liquid, so there is a threshold of when it's actually cooked, and the Gemara's terminology is Yatzel Esbal. The word Yatzel Esbal means that when your hand touches it, your hand is going to recoil because of the heat. Like a reflex reaction of it's so hot that without even thinking, your hand just snaps back. So how does that translate into degrees? Celsius, Fahrenheit? So debate amongst the contemporary postgame in terms of how to put that into a number. But just for our purposes, however, we're just going to say it's Yatzel Esbal. We'll do it like the Gemara. So in other words, there's a very clear threshold in terms of what's cooking on Shabbos. So if you bring a liquid above the temperature of Yatzel Esbal, so now you have violated the Isser on Shabbos of cooking. So according to Rabban Rav Yosef, when it comes to oil, that's fine. Not a problem. You're allowed to cook oil on Shabbos. Now, how do we process that? How do we understand that? Cooking is one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. Bishul. Right, it's bishul. How can you cook oil? What is that? And do they not hold of the malacha of bishul? That's impossible. That's not tenable. So what does it mean? So the Gemara explains. Kasavar tanakama shemen einbo mishum bishul. Yeah, of course there's a malacha of bishul on Shabbos. It's just that oil is not subject to the malacha. Now, oil not being subject to the Malacha of Bishul, why should that be? Let me just get the Rashi. So, all right, I'll say it outside. I'll find the Rashi. So the Rashi explains that when it comes to oil, let's take a step backwards. What's a malacha? A malacha means that I do something creative. Okay, that's a general definition of malacha, meaning I effect a change in something by doing something creative. The heating of oil, according to Rabban Rav Yosef, doesn't make any type of fundamental change in the oil, meaning raw oil. I mean, raw oil. You understand? Meaning oil is just the same whether it's heated or not heated. In order to violate the malacha of bishul, there has to be a fundamental change to the actual food itself. So when I take an egg, which is raw, and I cook it, so you understand that's a fundamental change. Right? I've now made something inedible edible. But when I take oil and I heat it up, I've really done nothing to the oil. I haven't changed it at all in terms of its essential nature, and so therefore there's no malacha of bishul by oil. Now, right, as I explained that, I kind of understand that, kind of, but then compare it to what the Tanakama says is bishul, water. Meaning somehow we have to figure out, we have to process how, by cooking water, that's an act of bishul. Because cooking water, that creates a fundamental change in the water. In other words, cooked water versus quote-unquote raw water, that's different. But oil, heating oil is nothing. It doesn't create any type of real change within the oil. And so therefore, according to the Tanakhama, according to Rabban Rav Yosef, heating oil is fine in Shabbos, even if you bring it above the point of Yatzal Ezbo. V'asar Rav Yehuda Lameim, Hashem Yesh Bamisham Bishol, V'efsher Lozu Hu Bishulo. And then along comes Rav Yehuda, who says, no, it's fine that you're allowed to warm up oil, but you can't cook oil. Because even oil, there's a fundamental change in the oil itself. Okay. And then we go even one step further. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you can't even warm up oil. Because warming up oil, that already creates enough of a change in the oil. So it's like the Kali HaBishul that we described earlier. All right, so let's see if we can just go over this now outside according to Rabban Rav Yosef. It's really dramatic how many opinions there are regarding oil. In other words, first the opinion of Tanakhama, cook oil, it's fine. On Shabbos, it's fine. Why? Because there's no change in oil when you cook it, and therefore you'll have to cook it on Shabbos. That's the opinion of Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, no, you can't cook oil on Shabbos, but you can take the chill off of oil. If you're just bringing it up to room temperature, that's fine. And then the opinion of Shimon Gamliel says, no, you can't even bring it up to room temperature. Why? Because bringing it up to room temperature, have sherezu bishulo, that is considered like it's cooking, and therefore, even just taking the chill off of oil constitutes a malacha. So really, like, you're covering the gamut of opinions in terms of what you can do with oil. Either cook it, take the chill off of it, or you can't even do that. Okay. I mean, that's a wide berth of opinions regarding oil. That is all Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rav Nachma Yitzchak Amar Li'isura. Now Rav Nachma Yitzchak says, no, that's not what the Tanakhama's intent is. Meaning when the Tanakhama, again, they don't say this is the implied position of the Tanakhama, is that you're not allowed to cook oil. That's their position. Alpha Pishina Yatzal Ezbo Asar. And even if you're not cooking it to the point of Yatzal Ezbo, even if you're just taking off the chill, that's Asar as well. And then Rav Yehuda's arguing, and Rav Yehuda says, no, warming it is not a problem. It's only cooking it which is a problem. So if I'm just bringing it up to room temperature just to take off the chill, that's fine. And Rav Shimon Gamliel is now going to argue and say, no, even just warming it is considered a malacha of Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to warm up oil. Now, what's problematic with Rav Nachman Yitzchak is that the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel is the same as the Tanakhama. And so therefore, it's a good way to learn the Braisa, but now you have a repetition of position. The Tanakhama, Rav Shimon Gamliel, are saying one and the same thing. Gemara's next point. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hainu Tanakhama, Yikabeinau Kalachayad. And over here, the issue between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel is whether or not you can do this meaning, to remove the chill off of oil, can you do it in an unusual manner? So the Tanakhama would say it's usur under all circumstances, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, if you're doing it in an unusual manner, that would be fine, to remove the chill. Okay. And even that's hard to understand. Because if it's a violation of Bishul, so then why would doing it in an unusual manner change anything? Maybe it'll bring it down to a din derabanan, but that's...
don't you have a cleave? And when you use your hand, that's not a cleave.
Understood, but if you're bringing the oil up to a temperature, and if you hold that just warming it is considered cooking, so cooking is cooking. So... All right. The discussion of oil is fascinating. In other words, the positions are clear. Understanding of each position, that takes work, and I myself don't fully understand each position. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmol Echad Shemen Vechad Mayim Yad Sol Ezbo Aser Ein Yad Sol Ezbo Mutter. Okay, Eddie, you'll be very pleased. The Gemara comes to a very clear resolution of this matter. Oil and water are the same halachically, meaning as far as the opinions are concerned, there are many opinions. As far as the halach is concerned, the halach is very clear. If I bring oil or water above the point of Yatzal Ezbo, that's an act of bishul, and obviously usher to do on Shabbos. So in yatzalas b'moter. But if I just take the chill off of the oil, or for that matter, off of the water, so that would be okay. Again, let's review what we learned earlier this morning. You can't put oil and water on the fire. Even if you just want to take off the chill, that's aser. But to put it next to the fire just to take off the chill, that would be mutter. Now the Gemara itself wants to better quantify what does it mean yatzal asbo. Amar rachva kol shekreso shel tinok nichvis. Well, I'll tell you how to gauge. Pour it on the stomach of an infant. If the infant's stomach burns, you've now achieved yatzal asbo. Now, as far as testing is concerned, obviously I don't recommend. Yeah, correct. But it certainly is a strange. I mean, we can acknowledge it is a strange way to try to quantify what is considered cooking. Meaning this gauging of, well, if you pour it on the stomach of an infant, now you know. Now it is yatzal asbo. But I think the simple pshat of the Gemara is that as we get older, so a lot of our senses dull. Okay. Some of you know that, like, you give a really spicy food to an older individual, they can handle it no problem, and then for the younger palate, it burns their tongue. Why? So, because, in other words, our senses just diminish as we get older. Think of our sight, think of our hearing. So, to try to gauge something which is hot based on, you know, to the touch of an older person, that's not going to work. Meaning, because everyone's different, and everyone's senses get dulled. As opposed to, the Gemara here refers to it as an infant. I mean, but the basic idea of the Gemara is that their senses are fresh, right? They're brand new beings. And so therefore, they give a more objective standard of what is considered cooked. And nowadays, we have this thing called a thermometer. So obviously, we have a much better way of gauging. But back in the time of the Gemara, obviously, they're trying to quantify something without having the measuring devices that we have nowadays. I have my counsel over here today, so he's just making sure that I'm protected. Thank you. I'm Rav Yisrael Bar Avdimi Pamachas Nechnasti Achar Rebbe LeBeis HaMerchatz. Gemara tells a story. I went with Rebbe to the Beis HaMerchatz. Now we're back in the bathhouse. Now we're done with the whole bathhouse discussion. Okay, I mean, we covered that today. We covered that yesterday. Okay, everyone, you can relax. We're going to make a new point now regarding the bathhouse, and that is the following. So I went together with Rabbi to the bathhouse. And here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to heat up oil. So I took my jug of oil, and I was about to put it into the bath water. Amar li tol b'kli sheni. So Rabbi turns to me, and Rabbi says to me, don't do that. Here's what I'll tell you to do. Take the water from the bathhouse and transfer it into another kli. Then take your jug of oil and put it into that other kli. You know what we call this? Kli sheni. And vitain. And then put your jug of oil into the kli sheni. Now, shmamina tlas. Now, there are three takeaway points from this story. Number one, shmamina shemin yesh b'mishum bishul. First of all, oil is subject to cooking. Now, I know we already said that, but Maisa Rav, we see now from the story that you're not allowed to cook oil on Shabbos. There was an opinion that we were treated to earlier that says that you're not allowed, that you are allowed to cook oil on Shabbos, but it's not an accepted position. So point number one is that you cannot cook oil on Shabbos. Ushma mina kli sheni eina mevashel. Additionally, what we learned is the kli sheni does not cook. There is no cooking that occurs in a kli sheni. Ushma mina hefshero zuhu bishulo. And we also learn that even just taking off the chill of the oil, that's considered bishul, meaning oil is sensitive, oil is delicate, and just removing the chill of it would be considered bishul. Now, I'm going to come back to klisheni in just a moment. It's a really important topic, and I'll touch on it for just a moment. But in the meantime, let's just go on to the Gemara first. Hechi Avid Hachiv Amar Rabba Barbachan Amar Rav Yochanan B'chol Makom Mutal Ha'ara Chutz Mibeis HaMechutz Mibeis HaKisei. The Gemara over here digresses for a moment about, wait a second, they're talking about halacha in the bathhouse. You can't do that. You're not allowed to engage in any type of Torah discussion in the bathhouse, and for that matter, the bathroom as well. V'chitim b'lashon chol. Now maybe, well, they weren't speaking in Hebrew. Maybe they were speaking in some other language. What other language is Rebbe speaking? Probably, this is my speculation, probably Aramaic. Meaning they spoke Aramaic in Israel. Okay, I don't know if I'm right about that. If anyone knows one way or another, please share. But probably they spoke Aramaic. You'll see, even in the Mishnayos, when they refer to the documents that were used in Mishnaic times, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, all the documents were written in Aramaic. I believe, I don't know this to be so, they probably spoke Aramaic. So maybe they spoke B'lashon Chol, or if not Aramaic, they spoke Yiddish, for sure. So Amar Leva Amar Abai Dvarim Shachol Mutal LaAmram B'lashon Kodesh Shal Kodesh Also LaAmram B'lashon Chol. So and the Gemara says, but that doesn't matter, meaning because halachic discussion is halachic discussion, and what difference does it make what language you speak in? Meaning we're learning Torah right now, even though we're conversing in English. Doesn't matter. It's Torah. So you're not allowed to think about Torah in the bathroom or in the bathhouse. So how can Rebbe have any type of conversation of Torah in the bathhouse? So he first misuri shani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in other words, to stop somebody from doing an isser, you have perfect license to do so. So in other words, if you see somebody who's about to commit an avera in the bathhouse or in the bathroom, and you want to stop them from doing an avera, that kind of halacha you're allowed to engage in. Not a discussion, simple instruction. Teidu damar of Yehuda Amashmol Maisa Patamidosh Rabbi Meir. Gemara tells another story to hammer this home. An incident regarding the student of Rabbi Meir, Shenichlan Sachav LeBeit Samerchatz, where he went to the bathhouse, Bikesh LaHadiach Karka. And what he wanted to do is he wanted on Shabbos to sweep the floor. Sweep the floor on Shabbos, the floor of the bathhouse. Meaning, sweep the floor, I'm not saying it right. It's not really sweep the floor. It's wash the floor. But in other words, manipulate the floor. No, don't do that. You can't do that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to level a floor on Shabbos. So lasuchlo karka. So what about just pouring oil or some sort of fragrance over the ground? Amalo ain't sachin. He says, no, you can't do that as well on Shabbos. So in other words, he was about to engage in some activity which is prohibited on Shabbos, and Rameir's answer is he can't do that. And they were talking in the bathhouse. So amai frishim misuri shani. Hachan amali frishim misuri shani. And so what do you see over here? That if you see somebody in the bathroom or bathhouse about to engage in an isser, so there you're allowed to say you cannot do that. The halacha prohibits you from doing that, even though you're in the bathroom in the bathhouse. Okay. Now, let's pause in the Gemara for just a moment. And wow, did it get late really early here in the Daf Yomi. Yogi said that. So the... okay. For those of you who went over your head, let it go over your head. So the... But let's for a moment talk about Kli Sheni. The Gemara said, as a rule, as a basic rule in Shabbos, Kli Sheni and a Mevasha. So in other words, the cooking of the oil. So he says, well, if you want to warm up the oil on Shabbos, what you have to do is take the water from the bath, from the actual tub, which the Gemara assumes to be a Kli Rishon. In of itself, that's interesting. Why that should be? Right, we need to understand better the construction of the bathroom, the bathhouse, the actual tub itself, to understand why the Gemara considers it to be Kli Rishon, meaning that's where the water was originally heated up. But in order to heat up the oil, take the liquid from there, the water from there, transfer it to a Kli Sheni, and now you could take the oil and submerge it in the Kli Sheni, and that would be okay because no cooking occurs in the Kli Sheni. Now, perhaps the following bothers you. And it should. It bothers Tosfos. How come there's no cooking in the Kli Sheni? Meaning, what happened? I took water from an urn. I transfer it now into a second utensil, a second cup, or second bowl. And now, because it's in a Kli Sheni, we're good. No cooking can occur over there. Now, is it totally cooled down? No. Meaning, try this at home. Please don't. But, huh?
It's just a rule.
Right. Please don't. But try this at home. Right, take hot soup, pour it into a bowl, and now stick your finger right in there. And tell me, in other words, I'm talking about piping hot soup. And you'll tell me, is it really cooled down? Okay, it's cooled down a little bit, I understand. But is it really cool? Where no cooking occurs in the Kli Sheni? And why now is the Gemara say as a rule, flatly, that there's no cooking that occurs in the Kli Sheni? So for that, this question bothers Tosfos. It's a really important Tosfos, Teima. Torah Tosfos down on the Amud. Maishna kli sheni mekli rishon. Dehi atzolas afil kli sheni nami. V'yenya atzolas afil kli rishon nami. Meaning, why is the transfer vessel the important feature? Shouldn't the most important factor be whether the liquid itself is above or below Yatzalazbo? Shouldn't that be the only gauge? Why is transferring do anything? Einem bavash, v'yesh lamar. So Tosfos over here makes the following suggestion. Lefisha kli rishon mitoch shamar ala or, dof nosav chamim, u'machzik chamo zman meruba, u'lekach nasnu bo shir, dechol zman sh'ayatzalazbo aser. In a kli rishon, remember, not only is the liquid hot, the pot's hot as well. And so therefore, it sustains the heat. Even if I were to take that pot off the fire, there still is retention of heat within the pot, because remember, the walls of the pot themselves also are hot. Cooking occurs in a kli rishon, even if it's been removed off the fire. Ava kli sheni afagav diyad salezbo. Now, but in a kli sheni, even though it's yad salezbo, meaning the liquid, but but the walls of the pot of a kli sheni are cool. Meaning when you transfer it from the pot into your bowl, the bowl now is cooling. In other words, we'll call it cooling action. So the holechu mitkarer. And so since it's now in a descent, it's in a decline. Meaning, yes, it's true, the liquid right now currently is yatzalah's bowl. But because it's now in a descending pattern, so therefore there's no cooking that occurs in a kli sheni. Yes, the liquid is over yad salat's bowl, but no cooking occurs because it's now in its cooling action. It's in a cooling descent. That's how Tosfos explains the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni. Just some takeaway points in terms of halach lamasa, even though I'm it's not my usual area, but first of all, as we learned earlier, there are delicate foods that are super sensitive to being cooked. Even those cannot be placed into a kli sheni. Now, what these foods are some the fishes, the mackerels that we discussed earlier. Okay, any other foods that are also kale habishal, delicate and sensitive, and could be cooked even in a kli sheni. There are others are out there. So, therefore, generally speaking, we are cautious to put anything in a kli sheni. So, again, it's a much longer discussion. Just be aware that there are foods that can be cooked even in a kli sheni, what are referred to as kalei habishul. Another interesting point is that based on this Tosfos that we just learned, what's the story with a ladle? Meaning I take ladle and I ladle soup from the pot into the bowl. Now, eventually what's going to happen with that ladle, as it's now sitting in the pot, is that the walls of the ladle are going to get hot. Based on this explanation of Tosfos, that ladle may not be considered a kli sheni, right? That ladle may still be considered a kli rishon. So another area in halacha which needs to be investigated and analyzed in terms of what the status of the ladle is. There's a Taz that talks about the ladle. Anyway, just a lot of interesting points that comes out of this Tosfos. Back to the Gemara. That flew. The Amai Salacher, the Amai first Misur Shani Achanam, the first Misur Shani. Amar Ravina. Shema Mina Mavash Bechamitveria Beshabbat Chayev. I cook in Chamitveria, I would be Chayev. Oh, by the way, the story with Rebbe occurred up north by the Chamitveria. The Amai said to Rebbe Lacher, Gzerav, because think about it, says the Gemara. The incident of Rebbe, that was after the Gzerah. Meaning, remember what we said earlier this morning? No bathing on Shabbos, not in a bathhouse, no schwitzing. They tried also to even ban Chametveria. It didn't take. So bathing in Chametveria is okay. Now, Rebbe went into the bathhouse. Rebbe. So you got to assume that, where did he go? Well, he can't go to a regular bathhouse because that's Osir. He can't even schwitz in a regular bathhouse. That's also Osir. Must be that it was Chametveria. And Rebbe stopped somebody from putting oil into the bathhouse of Chametveria. So cooking in Chametveria, the Gemara deduces beautifully, brilliantly, must be Osir. The Daha Rebbe Lacher Gzerava, Varmali Tol B'Klisheni, V'Tein, Ini, The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chista mavasha b'chametz vera b'shabbos pater." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but don't we have a statement of Rav Chista that by cooking in chametz vera, you are exempt from bringing a carbon chatas?" Which of course means we're with the language of the Gemara. Pater means pater of asar. You're not allowed to do it, but it's not a chil Shabbos. So my chayiv nami dekamra makas mardos. Okay, so what the Gemara says? Well, maybe what is meant earlier by chayiv means that you'll be liable. And what punishment? What corporal punishment are we talking about? Makas mardos, rabbinic lashes. I'm Rav Zira ani chazis lo Rabbi Abba deshad ba ambati v'lo yadani akar yilo akar. I saw Rabbi Abahu. Now, Rabbi Abahu is later. Now, he was floating in a tub. Now, I don't know, feet on the ground or no feet on the ground, meaning was he swimming? So, if she's a Deloaka, now, I'll tell you, even though I don't know, but I know, right? Feet were on the ground. You're not allowed to swim on Shabbos in a pool. Okay? It's a rabbinic concern. It's a Mishnah and Beitzah. It's a rabbinic concern that you're not allowed to swim in a pool, even if the pool's in your backyard or in a chatzar. So, obviously, feet were touching the ground, meaning you're not allowed to swim. But can I walk, can I wade through water on Shabbos? Sure. Meaning, let's say it's a puddle. Sure. What if it's a really deep puddle? That's also fine. So the Gemara says, Lokasha ha delay gedude ha de islay gedude. So the Gemara says, well, what we could suggest is the following. Yes, it's usur to float and swim in a pool. But that's only in a case where there are no walls, embankments around the pool, as opposed to where there is a wall or an embankment around the pool. The difference being what exactly? So take a look at Rashi. Now Rashi over here does offer two explanations. I'm going to go with Rashi second. V'li nira, top Rashi, Mem Aleph, Amid Aleph. The isle gedu de share, de lo dami le nahar. Look, if I have some sort of embankment, so it's not like a river. Meaning, the rabbinic prohibition of swimming is in a river. But, if it is a pool of water with an embankment, so there to just simply walk through it, that would be fine. Ella lekli de isle gedu de maya lenarva aser. But once it has no embankment, so basically now it starts to look like a river, like a lake. Swimming in a lake on Shabbos is aser. By the way, why is it aser? Why did the rabbis ban swimming in a lake? Because you may build a raft, meaning, or not raft if you don't want to think about raft, but any type of life preserver, meaning you're gonna want to construct for yourself some sort of life preserver on Shabbos, so therefore the rabbis banned swimming in a lake. But if it's just a small puddle and it has an embankment and it doesn't look like a lake at all, so the Gemara says that you're allowed to wade through on Shabbos. Okay. The Amar Rabbi Zera. Now I know I'm out of time. We're really behind. Okay. Apologies. Okay, we'll have to stop over here. Sorry. We'll stop over here tomorrow. Tomorrow's Amud Beis is really short. Tomorrow we will make a concerted effort to catch up.